Well, you know what I like? I like the smell of cut grass. That's one of the pleasures of summer for me. And you know, when you're in your bare feet sometimes on a lawn, doesn't that feel good to cool on? I think it's pretty cool. You want to have a healthy lawn. I do anyway, and I hope you do as well. And Doug Soldat's with us to help us with that task. This is the time of year when you really kind of need to be thinking about more, perhaps, about your lawn. Doug's an associate professor of soil science at the UW-Madison, specializes in turf grass, and he has some great information to share about taking care of your lawn. And Doug, great to have you back.
Thank you, Larry. Good to be here.
I tell you what, it's fun. And I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. Someone's already called. You can call in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Overall, how's this year been for lawns?
It's been a really nice year. Better than most, for sure. So we had a little bit of dry spell for most of the state, but other than that, temperatures are nice. Things are looking better than in the last couple of years.
Actually, June was kind of wet.
Yeah, really late spring. We got off to a slow start, but overall, it's been a pretty good year.
This is kind of an important time of year, is it not?
Yeah.
Reseeding, maybe one thing?
Or? Absolutely. This is the most important time. And most people now are starting to think about the fall coming up, and they're not really thinking about their lawn, but this is by far the most important time to take care of your lawn and really gain some ground so you can get a good start to next year.
Yeah. And reseeding is one thing to think about?
Reseeding. There's a really small window for reseeding, and it's actually today is right in the middle of it. So we like to say reseed August 15th through September 15th for the best results. Right now is a really good time to fertilize. It's a good time to aerify the lawn, to reduce some of the compaction. It's a really important time for a lot of different aspects.
Brandon in Minnesota has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Brandon. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hello. I've got the potential for a very beautiful lawn. I just bought a new property. It's got a beautiful terrace, got old pictures. However, I am overwhelmed with wild raspberries and can't get rid of them.
Huh.
Wild. So this is the woody species?
Yes.
And you've mowed them?
I initially started with that to see, because when I bought the property, it was abandoned. And now I've got a good idea of where everything is, but the more I pull, I'll dig right down to the bottom of the root, and still they keep coming back year after year.
Yeah, so maybe I'm not understanding it correctly, but for a woody species like raspberry, if you just keep mowing, you know, every week, they're eventually going to give up. You're going to exhaust their reserves, and they're not going to be able to tolerate that mowing. So pulling them up is one thing, but just keep running that mower over it at 2 inches, and eventually those raspberries and anything else with woody stems is not going to be able to take it.
All right. So keep working on it then.
Yeah, just keep mowing.
Yep, keep mowing.
And, you know, if you got some that have gotten too big, it sounds like he's been after it for a while. But
yeah.
If you get some that are too big and woody, I mean, you got to cut those down.
Cut them back. Yeah, they have a lot of reserves in their rhizome, so they keep coming back. But the mower will eventually get rid of them.
I bet you, 3 years?
Yeah.
Probably.
They'll thin out.
3 years?
Yeah, probably. Another option would be a broadleaf herbicide, and that's going to be most effective in the next 4 weeks or so in the late fall.
Yep, but if you want to avoid that, just keep mowing.
Mow it.
Save some money. You gotta mow anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well just keep at it. Chris and Madison, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call.
Hi. I was just calling to ask about crabgrass and if it's already starting to cover your grass, is there any way to keep it from spreading across everything?
Yeah, crab.
And if you're starting with a new patch, is there any way to prevent it from coming?
Right. So crabgrass is a really common, pretty interesting weed that behaves a little bit differently than the dandelions and the clover and the creeping Charlie. And so there, once you have crabgrass, there's not much you can do about it to get rid of it. So what we like to do with crabgrass is prevent it from getting there in the first place. So the crabgrass is an annual plant, which means that as soon as you get the first hard frost, it's going to be dead. And you're going to have a bare spot. So the two best ways to prevent crabgrass from coming in next year, the first way would be to thicken up your lawn. The reason it comes up is because there's a bare spot. Usually it was there last year. So maybe cut that area out, put some new sod in, or you can dig it out right now and reseed it. But the chemical control method is to put a pre-emergent herbicide down. And that's usually best done in early to mid-May, and that prevents the crabgrass seeds from germinating. But the non-chemical cultural management practice for crabgrass is just to have a thick lawn, and usually you do that by mowing with a sharp mower, fertilizing 2 to 3 times a year. But right now there's not much you can do other than just wait for that first frost or dig it out.
Yeah, or dig it out.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Michelle in Oshkosh, you are next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I have a small lawn in the city, and when I bought my house 3 years ago, it looked great, but I haven't really done anything to it except mow it, and now it's looking really bad. And I don't even really know the basics of what to do for it. It has Creeping Charlie, it has clover, and now it's even starting to have those, like, spiky weeds. And it looks terrible, you know, so yeah. I feel maybe I've let it go too long. But what should I do? Where should I begin to rehabilitate a lawn that has not really had any treatment in 3 years?
Sure. So this is a great question because it allows us to get, you know, everybody needs a refresher at some point. And you know, it's kind of gives us an opportunity to talk about the priorities. So the first thing, the most important thing you can do for your lawn is mow it properly. And by properly, okay. I mean 2.5 to 3.5 inches should be your height setting, so relatively high. And then the mower blade should be sharpened every year. So you want a really sharp mower blade. A lot of lawns, just by sharpening the mower blade, will look 100% better. Because if you're mowing with a dull blade, it basically wounds the grass, and the grass starts to die. Sharp blade, mow it 2.5, 3.5 inches. Probably the next thing on the list is fertilization twice a year and at a minimum. And the timings for that would be Memorial Day and Labor Day, so right about now. And that provides the nitrogen that lawn needs to grow more blades and fill in and kind of thicken. So I would recommend that for right now. And then you'll be amazed at how the grass starts to outcompete the weeds like clover and Creeping Charlie might be difficult under those conditions, but do it next year and see how much it improved. And then if you have weeds still really dominating, then you can look at chemicals or products that will help you get rid of the weeds. So you say it's small.
Okay.
Another thing you can do is hand pull the weeds.
Yeah, it is a small front and backyard. So basically, like now for this weekend, I should just buy the chemical or the fertilizer and spread
yeah.
it on the lawn and just then leave it. And that's the only thing to do for the rest of this year.
Well, and I'd also get the blade sharp. You can sharpen the blade right now on your lawnmower.
I did at the beginning of the summer, got the whole thing tuned up. So
okay. Okay, good.
You should be good. And you're mowing at 2.5 to 3.5?
You want to make sure of that.
Yep. So, yeah, fertilize it now and then again in the spring, and then I think you'll start to notice pretty dramatic improvement. And then you'll have fewer weeds to deal with when you decide to get rid of them.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for calling. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Talking with Doug Soldat today about early fall lawn care. It's the important time of the year to be taking care of that lawn of yours. So good time to call in now with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email me at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Chris in Wauwatosa up next. Hi, Chris.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I really enjoy your show. My problem is Creeping Charlie, and it's sort of kind of a follow-up to the previous caller's question. One was the fertilizer, which you said I should put down about this time, but I also put down a winterizer. Is that, a thing that's sold in, as a winterizer? Is that, am I moving to that in addition, or where do we get into that? So that was my first question. The second question had to do with, there's a patch in my yard that is Creeping Charlie's taken over again in the back, and I pull back, and this thing, I don't know why they call it creeping, because it really moves fast, and just kind of growing into the flower beds. I keep pulling back, but it's rooted, you know, so the line extends. So I was just wondering what could be done, and the first question, of course, had to do with the timing of fertilizer.
Sure. So do you have shade there at your property?
The area that's really infested with Creeping Charlie is sunny.
Okay.
In the sun.
Well, that's a really good thing. So normally Creeping Charlie, or also known as ground ivy, is one of the worst, most common weeds that we find in lawns. And it's really a woodland plant, and it really thrives under shade. And grass is evolved in open grasslands, very low shade tolerance for lawns. So normally a lot of people will have trouble with Creeping Charlie in shaded areas, and there's really not much you can do about it, because even you're going to be putting down the chemicals, the herbicides, every year, and you're still going to lose that battle. But in the full sun, there is hope, because the grass has a competitive advantage. So the best time to control Creeping Charlie is in the late fall, so around the time of the first frost, basically sometime in October. And that's because that's when the Creeping Charlie is starting to move its sugars and photosynthates into its root system. And so if you do put down an herbicide at that time, it moves the herbicide into the roots and really kills it. The second best time would be in the spring when it's flowering. It puts up these little purple flowers, but that's the second best time. So the other thing you want to do at this time too is put down some fertilizer to help the grass outcompete the Creeping Charlie.
That would have been the winterizer, wouldn't that have
been? Let's go to, so winterizer is, it's sort of like a marketing term. It's just a name for a fertilizer that usually has higher levels of potassium in it. So every bag of fertilizer has three numbers on the bag. The first one is nitrogen. The middle one should be zero. That's phosphorus. And the last number is potassium. And that's based on some old ideas about what lawns need. Our research has shown that if your soil has adequate potassium, there's no benefit to applying anything more. So potassium doesn't cause environmental damage. There's no harm in putting it down. But in terms of should I buy a winterizer fertilizer or a general turf fertilizer, it doesn't make much of a difference. I would tend to go with the general fertilizer, especially if you have a soil test showing you don't need any more potassium.
Okay, so if I put one down now, this weekend or the next few days, I shouldn't worry about doing what I've been doing for years, like putting one down later at the end of late fall or something.
Late fall is a good time to fertilize again in general, but there's nothing special in the winterizer that's going to convey any extra benefit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yep, good luck.
Thanks a lot for calling.
So I guess maybe I didn't really hit this well, but what I was going to say is when you have full sun with Creeping Charlie, the herbicides are relatively effective. And once it's gone, you should be able to keep it out with just proper lawn care.
Yep. There you go. Doug Soldat, our guest today, he's an associate professor and UW Extension Specialist in the Department of Soil Science at UW-Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Carl Christensen, our on-air producer for Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at your lawn on this edition of Garden Talk with our guest Doug Soldat, I'm Larry Mueller. Thank you so much for listening in. Donna in Franklin has a question. So let's go. Hi.
Hi. I have African violets, and they're all over my lawn. How do I get rid of them?
You can move.
Yeah,
sell your house.
They're hard to get rid of.
They're really tough. So violets, all types of violets are going to come from a bulb, and that means they have a ton of storage to regenerate from. So oftentimes control is temporary or suppression, but really eradication is really difficult. Even when you go through and like totally replace the lawn, those bulbs that are going to still remain in there and they're going to regenerate.
Oh, goodness. What if I planted a lot of grass seed and overpower that?
Yeah, well, they don't compete so directly. I mean, when they're growing and blossoming, they're kind of when the grass is still just waking up, right?
And
yeah.
They're in a is it in a shady area or is it bright sun?
Pretty much it's both shady and a sunny area. Yeah.
Yeah, the shade will be just about impossible because it's hard to get thick grass in the shade. The sun you could have better success, but again, the things to do are fertilize 2 to 3 times a year to thicken up the grass, and then in the late fall, well, I guess with violets it would actually be a spring herbicide application, but again they bounce back. So I think it's more about understanding and tolerating the diversity you have in your lawn.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
There you go. I wish we had better results, but really, I hardly pays. To put chemicals down on it, you're not going to kill it anyway.
Yeah, violets and Creeping Charlie are two of the ones that sometimes, no matter what we do, we can't win.
I was so irritated once. This is years ago. With Creeping Charlie, I completely replaced my lawn. I killed off the lawn. And replace it. You know what? The next year I had Creeping Charlie.
The next year? I was going to give you 3 years.
No. The neighbors had it. Yeah, it was on both sides of me. And
yeah.
I have neighbors on both sides of me now have Creeping Charlie, and it just comes right underneath the fence.
Yeah. So it moves so fast.
I've kind of given up, to be honest. I just try to do the best job
it's
I can keeping a healthy lawn. And
right.
Yeah, there you go. We have Joe next from Rhinelander. Joe, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yeah, I hope you can hear me. I'm on the road toward Madison. Just a quick question about how to overseed a lawn. I've read it's supposed to aerate a lot and then overseed. If you could just let me know, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah,
sure.
Great. So you heard right. The most important factor for overseeding, and so this overseeding refers to putting down seed when there's already an existing stand. And a lot of people might just buy seed and just throw it on top and think that the seeds that fall down will somehow work their way down to the soil and germinate. But that's usually completely unsuccessful. So aeration is a really good thing to do when you're overseeding because it brings the soil to the surface. And the key to success with overseeding is seed to soil contact. So you bring that soil up, then you put your seed down. You let the cores kind of decompose and break up a bit. Put the seed down. And then the ones that kind of find a little place in the soil there will germinate. But if you don't have that soil on the surface, the chances for success are pretty low. Another way to do it is use a slit seeder. And a slit seeder cuts about little slices in the lawn that you can barely see, and they're really thin, and it drops the seed right down into that slice. So again, it's creating that seed-to-soil contact, which is going to give you good success. So aeration or slit seeding are good ways to do that overseeding.
Okay. There you go.
How about a power rake?
Power rake is exactly. That's another version of a slit seeder. So a power rake is going to create those slits that you can just go drop the seed in and then water it. Yep.
Then do you need a nitrogen fertilizer or do you need a seed starter fertilizer or what?
Ideally, you'd have a soil test to tell you if you have enough phosphorus to start the seed. So phosphorus is really important for getting good germination. Most soils in Wisconsin are going to have adequate levels, but you won't really know if you need it or not unless you take a soil test. Nitrogen is more important for maybe four or five weeks after the grass germinates to help it grow more leaves. But phosphorus fertilizer is the one that we wonder about at the time of seeding.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You know, in my neighborhood, there's been some road work. Actually, some new streets have been put in. And the city, of course, is putting down grass, but it's a mat, a kind of a, almost looks like a brown mat. And it's, you sort of lay it down on that bare ground. And I've, you know, they've done, they did that, a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And now we're seeing pretty darn good grass coming through. As I do my little 5K jog every morning, I'm noticing how good those actually are. And I'm wondering where you get those. And
yeah, you get, so those have a couple different trade names, but they're basically some type of straw that's weaved in with a fabric that decomposes.
Yeah.
So you just roll it out like a carpet.
Yeah.
And it provides a mulch that protects it from impact of raindrops and also holds the moisture in to help germinate. So they're a little bit more expensive than just buying bale straw.
Mm-hmm.
But they can be a little bit more effective.
The grass is really coming up nicely, and I imagine the homeowners are watering, but
yeah, but we've had a few timely rains here in the last couple weeks, and it's really helped out.
Well, I spent a little time in Oconomowoc last weekend on the golf course, and here's Chris from Oconomowoc with a question. Hi, Chris.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was hoping to learn a little bit more about how we could use some organic compost or homemade compost and compost peas to achieve some of these results that you're talking about.
Sure, yeah. Organic fertilizers are a really good alternative to a synthetic fertilizer. We do, at the OJ Noor Turfgrass Research Center, we do every year fertilizer trials, and we have organic and synthetic and everything in between. And the good news is a lot of these organic fertilizers perform just as well as the synthetic counterparts. Usually they're a little bit more expensive. You have to buy more bags to get the same amount of nitrogen or some of the drawbacks. But in terms of performance, we really struggle to notice big differences. So compost is my favorite thing to put on turf, because this not only provides nutrients, but it also builds up the soil. So in a degraded soil, I love putting down composts. We're doing some work with compost tea. Results are sort of inconclusive. I really like compost. I'm not sure that the benefits are really there with the compost tea yet, but we're learning more about it.
Now, when you say compost, people are going to, a lot of different things might come into people's minds when they think about compost. But you're thinking about a special compost in a special way.
There's so many different types of compost. So the caveat there is that the compost is high quality, that it doesn't have excessive ammonia or salts or weed seeds. It's been properly composted. And a lot of that has to do with the source material you start with and then the composting process. So in our trials, go ahead.
Do you have any suggestions for that base source material?
Well, usually you just want to get a nice mix of carbon and nitrogen. So the actual materials that you use don't matter too much. I mean, there's some big no-nos like you don't put like fat and grease and dog waste in there. But in general, there's a lot of different ways to make a good compost. So we've used municipal compost from Dane County, seen good results with that. Purple Cow compost is a commercially available product that uses a lot of yard waste compost.
But this is something that looks like dirt. I mean, it is dirt. It's not leaves or...
Yeah, it's heavily decomposed leaves. I mean, so it's been usually a year or 9 months. It's been in a pile and turned, and it behaves a lot like soil, or it should.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And I think people get the impression that compost is sort of like a pile of leaves that's, you know, and it's really looks like dirt.
Yeah. I just had an email question last night. Should I put down leaf mulch or compost? And leaf mulch, you know, you might think that's compost, but no, that's not even close. You want to get real certified compost.
We have Edie sent an email. What's the best way to get rid of dandelions?
Yeah, dandelions they love this. Wisconsin is kind of like the prime area for dandelions to live. So we probably see more dandelions in lawns than anything else. They have super interesting weed because it has a taproot like the survival strategy of an oak tree, and it also produces just millions and millions of seeds, like an annual, but it's a perennial plant. So it's got a lot of advantages, and it can tolerate low mowing. So we tend to see a lot of it. The best time to control dandelions chemically with an herbicide is in around the time of the first frost, about October. And then the best way to keep them out is with density, which we create with putting down compost or organic fertilizers or synthetic fertilizers 2 to 3 times a year. But they're going to be a constant source of struggle. But keeping the turf thicker is going to keep them out.
Andrew in Boscobel emailed us, too, and wondered if you could comment on the frequency and proper sharpening of brush hog blades.
Yeah, I imagine those are going to need to be sharpened more frequently. But with a brush hog, we're talking about a machine here that's going in and removing a lot of brush, right?
Yeah.
So the quality of that cut is not that critical. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. Anytime you have a sharp blade, it's better than a dull blade. It's going to reduce the engine's stress on the engine. It's going to increase your fuel efficiency. So, the sharper, the better. Somebody in the industry might give you better details on that. But,
well, you know, how much you use it and
what are you hitting? Are you hitting rocks or just brush? So, you know, I guess just an inspection, and you look at the blade, and if it looks like it's there's no edge on it and there's big dings out of it, that's the time to do it.
Somebody else wondered about, where can I go to get my lawnmower blade sharpened? Can I do it myself, or where do I go to get it done?
Yeah, there's places all over, in every city and every town. You should be able to find, a lot of hardware stores do it.
Yeah.
Small engine repair shops do it.
Yeah.
So just a few phone calls or an internet search should turn up dozens.
Well, let's go to Peggy next in Dubuque, Iowa, who has a question. Hi, Peggy. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have a new lawn in a new subdivision. It's about 6 weeks old, I'd say. We've overseeded a couple times. I'm just curious what I need to do for that yard this fall to help it for next spring.
How's it looking 6 weeks in?
It looks great. We have been mowing it really, really tall just to kind of give the under part a chance to catch up. There's a lot of the first seeding that the contractor put down was more of a broadleaf, and then we've been overseeding with Kentucky bluegrass.
Good. Yeah, so sometimes those new lawns, the contractor will use a lot of perennial or annual ryegrass, which will come up really quick and thick, but it usually doesn't survive more than a couple years. Doesn't like the winter. And Kentucky bluegrass and fine fescue are the species that we really want to grow. So I'm glad to hear that you're putting more Kentucky bluegrass down. The broadleaves were probably in the soil. There's a really low chance that those were seeded, and mowing gets rid of the majority of those. So it sounds like you're on the right track. You're mowing high. Mow it frequently, because that's going to be a good weed control. Don't let it get too long before you mow it. 6 weeks is a really good fertilization interval for a new lawn. So right about now, I'd fertilize it again, and then again in another 6 weeks. And that's going to help those new leaves develop and allow the roots to go down nice and deep.
Okay.
So yeah, I wouldn't say definitely don't do any weed control stuff now. Just keep mowing it and fertilizing it. Sounds like you're on the right track.
All right, great. Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Lois in Webster, hi to you.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, we have a lawn that the Campion has overtaken, I'd say 50% of it. I've tried digging it out. It would take forever and ever. What can I do? Do we need to replace that part of our lawn, or what?
I'm not sure what. Is it Campion, did you say?
It's that broadleaf. One is a kind of strange little stalk. I thought it's Campion.
Oh, Lois, you win. You stumped me. That's one I'm not familiar with.
It's kind of O-shaped, like kind of an oval, but it's several stems on one. You pull it, and it's got these little kind of whiskers in the bottom.
Huh. Maybe one of our listeners.
Does it have a tendrils? Is it like single stalks, or does it have tendrils?
Well, yeah, it's a single stalk, and it has this broad. It looks like a miniature rhubarb in a way. It's a small
miniature,
you know,
rhubarb.
Just a small version. Gets about 3 inches tall. It's just the leaf itself, and they grow in a cluster with a rather deep root. And then when you, if you go to pull them, you have to get way, way down and dig out that little root.
Is there a chance it's plantain?
I think you're right. It's plantain.
That's what I was thinking too.
Okay, good.
You're right. It is plantain.
Okay, plantain is a difficult weed to control, and it really like the dog park I go to. It lines the compacted trails,
uh-huh.
And so it's a really tough plant. And so sometimes it's an indication of compaction. So one thing you might want to consider is having the lawn aerified, okay, where they pull the cores out to loosen it a bit. But it won't spread. It only is spread by seed. So you want to keep the lawn thick, remove the compaction, and then if that doesn't solve it, you can turn to chemical control herbicide in the late fall.
It's near our well, so we hate to use
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, so just consider trying to loosen the soil and then thicken up the lawn with fertilizer. And then I think, you know,
at the same time, put some maybe overseed?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe?
It depends on how, you know, sometimes if you have an established grass that's thin, fertilizer is all you're going to need.
Oh, that's all you need.
But I would encourage you to just every time you're out, pull two or three, and eventually you're gonna start seeing fewer populations. I know it's got that deep tap root, but sometimes when the moisture is just right, it'll slide right out.
So it seems to have overtaken about half of our one lawn.
Mm.
It's boy. A,
well, you know, one thing you could do is till it up and reseed the area.
If we rototill it, would that disperse that tap root so we'd end up with a bunch more?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a concern. Plantain is probably less susceptible to spreading that way than some of the other plants. But rototilling it up, like right now, this is the time to do it.
Okay.
So get a thick...
Try and rake all the plants out and start from scratch again.
Yeah. Start from scratch, and then, you know, the key to weed control is just not letting it hit that threshold where it's 50 or more percent. So every time you see one, pull it out.
Okay.
And, you know, and depending on the size, I'd be really tempted to lay sod down.
Yeah, well, I love sod. Yep.
Yeah, sod would be really good for that.
Really quick cover. Yeah, and,
you mean you'd lay that on top of the plantain?
You would rototill it, rake it off, and then
okay.
put some sod down. And
sod isn't really all that expensive, really, when you get right. I
for
mean,
the it, convenience of it, I oh, think it's the best deal around.
Yeah.
Is this a good time to buy sod?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hey, that's something we haven't thought about. So, okay, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, you know, 50 bucks, you can get a lot of sod for 50, but yeah. You can cover a lot of area for 50 bucks.
Yeah.
And you've avoided a lot of kind of fooling around. Bob in Claybanks is our next caller. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for the show.
You bet.
I am going back to the Peeping Charlie topic.
Yep.
I have something, what I thought was Peeping Charlie in my lawn. It's got kind of round leaves. But I've got some purple flowers that have been popping up over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, that's it.
smells like that, mint when you mow. Or break off a stem.
I haven't really noticed. I'll have to give it a because they're small flowers and they kind of
yep.
it kind of runs along the surface.
Yep,
that's speaking.
And the real good one is feel the stems. They should be square. It's in the mint family, so it's got square stems. Smells like mint
and kind of woody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the Creeping Charlie is a round leafed ground cover, right?
It's kind of a heart shape.
Yeah, it's got kind of, I don't know what the botanical name is. It's got ruffles on the edge of this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a serrated.
Serrated, yeah.
Okay. So I've got a combination of the mint and the Creeping Charlie, I guess.
No.
No, it's all Creeping Charlie, I would guess.
Oh, it is all Creeping
it's
Charlie.
It's part of the Mint family, Creeping Charlie
I see,
is.
I see.
Yep.
Okay, so I can look forward to more of this happening in
Is it shady or full sun?
Both. Mostly in the sun, actually, seems like.
Well, you're going to be able to beat it in the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. And that would still be flowering this time of year, too, huh?
But yeah, it
can.
It can. I mean, I guess we saw a flush of flowers at our research station 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, but it can flower all year.
Okay. Okay, thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And David in New Berlin. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just, Green Bay Packers played last night, and they're getting ready for the opening season. And I want people to think about dandelions are green and gold. And they should be supported. Creeping Charlie, like you say, is a mint. It's got a great smell. It doesn't need any fertilizer. It doesn't need any chemicals. It doesn't need extra water. The violets have beautiful purple flowers. Lawns are not natural in this area. Lawns are, you know, they take all this energy. They take the water. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And I know that it's big business, but I'd like people to think about, you know, get rid of the lawns. And if you can't go natural, which does take a lot of effort, at least appreciate some of the survivors. I mean, if our children were as resourceful as dandelions and Creepy Charlie, we would say, wow, they're different.
Yeah. You left out the best one, right? What's the one you didn't mention?
What's that?
The weed with many virtues. The clover,
well,
right?
Clover.
Yeah.
Clover is great.
Yeah, I think I have a healthy respect for these weeds because David's right. A lot of these plants have some pretty unique characteristics that allows them to be there. And, you know, sometimes you need, like the Green Bay Packers aren't going to play on a field of Creeping Charlie and clover. And so there's different levels. And I agree with David on some respects is that some you can definitely overmanage, but There are different needs and there's different uses for lawns. And I think trying to understand the weeds and tolerate them sometimes would help out in certain situations.
Yeah, I'm a lot more tolerant of this. The lawn I've got right now, you know, I've got a daughter who's going to be soon 11. In fact, on Labor Day, she's 11. And she's got her friends, they come over, they play on the lawn. The lawn's not, there's weeds that I'm not going to put any chemicals on it because they're out there playing on it all the time. And I mow it high.
Yeah.
And, I do the best I can to kind of keep it healthy. But if there's Creeping Charlie out there, it's going to probably be there for a while because I'm not going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So David makes some points. But there are people, there lawns do perform some good functions.
Right.
A healthy lawn, I mean, you've told me this. You've talked about this in the past in terms of cutting pollution in the water and our streams and lakes. If you've got a properly maintained lawn, that's going to keep a lot of crap from going off into the lake.
Right. That's probably the hardest one to understand. And there's a ton of research that backs it up. So the urban environment is this really contrived space and the soils are often really compacted and degraded. And one thing that really reduces runoff is thick plant density. And the weeds can cover the ground, but when you look at the data from runoff from the weeds versus runoff from the turf, just based on the number of shoots, you find less water running off from a thick lawn. So there are, and it can absorb more water than kind of a thin mixture of weedy plants. So there are certain virtues that a lawn has in terms of environmental quality that weeds don't. Now you can counter that with, well, it takes the maintenance and the fuel and the fertilizer, and that those are all correct. But there are certainly positive aspects to having a dense lawn.
Talking today with Doug Soldat, associate professor at the University of Wisconsin in the Department of Soil Science and also UW Extension, as we visit with him about keeping a healthy lawn and all the things we need to do this fall to make sure we have a great lawn, not only this fall, but next year as well. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at your lawn today with Doug Soldat, associate professor at UW Extension in the Department of Soil Science. Larry Mueller here. Thank you so much for listening in. Questions for him? I think we have one open line on our in our phone line bank, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Certainly love to hear from you. Don in Boaz has been waiting a while, so let's go there. Hi, Don. Thank you for calling.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, or good morning. I have a question for your guest, Larry. Actually, a two-headed question. It involves a problem lawn that is, I had the soil tested by your own lab some years ago. It's very high in the potash and the phosphorus, but low in nitrogen. So the lawn recommendation was very, very high in nitrogen. And, you know, skip the other two, but get a lot of nitrogen on there. So my question to you is this. Is there a commercial product I can buy that would accomplish this? Or, now this is an area where at one time before construction there was a stream, you know, a river ran a little stream. So the soil is very sandy, gravelly, and low in nutrients. Am I looking at also a soil amendment or just buying the right fertilizer?
Yeah, that's so we'll start with the fertilizer. Most lawns require only nitrogen. So like you said,
only nitrogen.
You had a soil test done and the soil was adequate in phosphorus and potassium, which means the only other nutrient that that grass is going to need to survive is nitrogen.
Yeah,
and so, and that's really common. That's probably 80% of the lawns out there.
Oh.
And so most of the fertilizers you'll find on the shelf are going to be high nitrogen fertilizers for lawns. Now, when you follow the bag, so what we recommend is putting down a pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet.
1 pound per 1,000. Okay.
Of nitrogen. So I'll explain this here. So now we have all these different fertilizers. Some have 40% nitrogen. Others might only have 6. So when you flip over and read the bag instructions, most of the bag instructions are telling you how to apply it between a half and 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. So my recommendation is to just pick a lawn fertilizer, organic, synthetic, whatever suits your needs, and follow the bag instructions. And you want to apply those fertilizers 2 to 3 times a year to meet the nitrogen needs of the lawn.
Does urea play a role in this question at all?
Yeah, urea is probably the most common ingredient in most synthetic nitrogen fertilizers. So it's usually blended in to those. You can apply straight urea as your nitrogen source, but if you're doing it without a turf fertilizer, you'll have to make sure that you're putting down between a half and 1 pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet.
Which, in other words, if you go the urea route, do the math first.
Do the math first.
Right.
It's really important. And that's why I steer people towards buying specifically turf fertilizers, because they have the instructions.
Okay. In my basement, I've got 2 worm bins, and I use the vermicompost, as they call it, for my houseplants. If I expand my operations and get bushels of it, would that make a good lawn amendment too?
Make a great lawn amendment. And it would
absolutely
actually replace the need for fertilizer, is my guess.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to make some new worm boxes instead of buying fertilizer.
Yeah, good for you.
There you go. Why not? Thanks a lot for calling and good luck with that. Let's go to Jack next in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. I love your show. I'm a transplanted badger. If you don't like Creeping Charlie in Wisconsin, move to Colorado. They sell it as ground cover in the garden center. The other question I have for you is there are 3 things here that I search out all the time and buy. One is Johnsonville brats. 2 is Culver hamburgers. And the third is milorganite. Just wondering about your thoughts on milorganite in general and then application in the fall. And that's it.
All right. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, milorganite's a great fertilizer. So it's the biosolids from City of Milwaukee. It was actually developed by O.J. Knorr, who we named our Turfgrass Research Center after. We evaluate milorganite in different trials every year, and it's always one of the top performing fertilizers. So it's a great choice.
You're on the right track, Jack.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. I didn't know that O.J. Knorr developed that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and then he went on to be their agronomist for over 40 years.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah. Well, you learn something new every day, by golly. Let's go to Susan next in Menominee Falls. Hi, Susan. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Here's my problem. I live on an acre of property. Of course, most of it is my home and my shed and my garage and everything. But the front of my lawn is very, very uneven, very bumpy. When I cut the lawn, of course, I'm practically, my teeth are shattering and everything. What can I do to even out that lawn besides putting in a whole new lawn? Is there some way that I can even that lawn out a little bit?
Yeah, that's a difficult one.
It's a long term you can do it.
Yeah, so the way, I guess the things you can try, and I'm going to say the best way to do it would be to start over, reseed it, you know, kill the grass and smooth it out. But that sounds like it's not an option. So these things I'm going to tell you aren't going to be cure-alls. But rolling it in the spring when it's wet, and I don't like that option very much because you're compacting it. But that will smooth it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Another way to do it is to have it aerified, where you're pulling the cores out.
Right.
And that removes soil from the high areas, and they'll work their way down to the lower areas.
Mm-hmm.
Another way to do it is to top dress compost. So get a material, if you can find a large inexpensive supply of good compost, and apply that on top, and eventually the compost will settle in the low areas,
mm-hmm.
and then that will start to do it. You can also do that with topsoil. You can do it.
That's what I had thought. I thought, you know, even if I do like a section at a time, bring a lot of topsoil, rake that in, you know, and then I can overseed or whatever in that area. That should kind of even it out, right?
Yeah. Yep. It will. It will over time. You might get some settling. It's not going to be perfect, but
No. I understand that, but at least that would be a step in the right direction, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Well, then I guess I was thinking right. I couldn't imagine what I was going to do, but but that was kind of in my idea. When I aerify that, would it be this time of the year that I do that?
Yep. Now is perfect.
And then the milorganite, I can do that this time of the year, too?
Again, now is perfect, yeah.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Judy in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I have a soil question instead of a lawn question.
Okay.
excuse me. Every fall, I collect the leaves, put them through the lawnmower so that they're chopped up, and spread them on the garden. So I'm wondering, does it make a difference if I till them in right away in the fall, or should I be waiting until spring to do that?
I don't think it matters too much.
No.
You know, if you leave them there on the fall and wait till spring, I mean, basically once you incorporate them into the soil, they're going to start to break down a little bit faster as it interacts with the soil. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it matters really in terms of the performance of your garden one way or the other.
It's going to tie up, you know, if there's a lot, if you're putting a lot down, you're going to be tying up some of your nitrogen as those leaves break down.
Yeah.
So you may need to be applying some nitrogen. I'm talking now about a lot.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
If it was me, I'd do it in the fall to get it started.
Yeah, how deep?
Yeah, it would be easier in the fall, but I didn't know if I had to wait until
spring. No.
Yeah, go ahead and do it if you can.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And let's see, Larry in Rice Lake. Hi, thanks for calling.
Yes, I have a lawn. I bought a home, going to fix it up and resell it. So, you know, a budget keeping the budget down is important to me. Part of the lawn, it's about 8,000 square foot lot. Part of the lawn has, you know, nice grass. Some of it's creeping Charlie choked, and some is just weed choked. And it needs to be leveled out, and there's a couple high spots in the lawn that'd be nice to take it down a few inches. What can I? What would be the easiest way to take care of it? Would it be to just, you know, like kill all the grass and weeds and start over, or what options do I have? Keeping a, you know, lesser budget in mind because it is for resale.
Yeah. So if you're talking about regrading, which it sounds like you might be, you're going to have to get rid of the surface cover to do that. So, and that's gonna put you in a different price bracket than if you want to work with what you have. So ideally, you'd start a little bit earlier if you're gonna kill the grass and, mm-hmm. and regrade it, because you want to get that seed down no later than mid-September, and you're all up in Rice Lake, so that your time frame's even shorter. So, and you're talking about trying to put this house on the market in spring?
Early summer.
Early yeah. summer.
Okay.
So, you know, keeping that in mind, you probably don't have much time to do that. So I would say what you want to do is work with the existing lawn, and probably the most cost-effective way to do that is to go with an herbicide in... sometime in October, and that's going to get rid of the majority of the weeds, and then also fertilize.
So there you go. That's the way to do it. Doug Soldat, our guest today. Doug is an associate professor and UW Extension Specialist in the Department of Soil Science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here for this edition of Garden Talk. We're taking a look at your lawn with Doug Soldat, Associate Professor in UW Extension and UW Madison Department of Soil Science. He specializes in turf, and this is the time of the year you really need to be thinking about your lawn and its care. So I hope you'll join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You can post a question or a comment there. And Michelle in Minneapolis has been waiting a while, Doug, so let's just go there. Michelle, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Actually, I'm up in Door County, and so we happen to be listening to your show. And coincidentally, because it's all about lawn, we have a great question for you.
Good.
We bought a house at several acres, and part of the lawn that's near our house was actually placed into became a leach field for a septic system before we moved in.
Okay.
Pretty poor.
Oh, we lost you. Oh, that's too bad. I wonder if she's looking at what do we do with a septic system where you've got that sort of situation, a leach field.
Yeah, how do you control the weeds on a
yeah.
leach field?
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be too different than weed control anywhere else. And again, we're just kind of guessing at the question, but I think the keys, if we can reiterate the keys to weed control, the most important thing you can do is grow a healthy lawn to keep the weeds out. Density is key. But on top of a septic field, I don't see too many concerns with any of the normal practices that you would do to control weeds, cultural or chemical. So maybe it's a certain type of weed, but in general, I don't see a lot of problem with controlling weeds on a drain field.
No, a lot of people go with prairie grasses and because, you know, you don't have to mow it then. And those prairie grasses actually are, you know, people worry about the roots, but no, it's the opposite is true, is it not?
Yeah, it keeps the pores open.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So there's some alternatives you can do. If you don't want to battle the lawn on the leach field, you can go with a prairie type installation.
Yep. And we hope we, got the answer to the, we don't know the question, but there's an answer. Robin and Madison, you're next. Hi, Robin.
Hi. I belong to an HOA, and so we have a landscaping service that does all the fertilizing and everything all during the year. But there's one section of my lawn that gets all the snowy salt all piled up on it during the winter time.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of looking at the what looks like a cow patch.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, I was heard about Pennsylvania sedge, and I'm wondering if that would be an option to plant there next spring, whether that's going to survive that snowy salt, and if not, what are your suggestions?
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm not familiar with the specifics on the Pennsylvania sedge and how salt tolerant that is, but this last season was one of the worst I have ever seen for salt damage on lawns. And so the salt can create problems in two ways. The first way is that the salt actually kills the plant directly, and that's what we saw a lot of this year. And the second way is that it ruins the soil. It gets in the soil and causes the clays to swell up, and it's basically like a chemical type of compaction. For that, you want to put down gypsum, and gypsum helps displace the sodium and get it out of the soil. But for the first thing, there's not much you can do, because even the salt-tolerant plants, if you put down enough salt, they're going to die. In fact, the University of Minnesota did a big study on salt-tolerant roadside turf, and everything died. So there's a certain level, and my guess is with your situation, that level's just being exceeded.
What about
When should the gypsum be applied?
Right away in the spring, when it's wet. So as soon as it clears up, you can put down the gypsum, and that'll help move the sodium through the profile. And then you'll also have to start thinking about either resodding or reseeding or doing something, because most plants just won't tolerate those levels of salt.
Now, last year I bought some de-icer that was not salt. It was
like beet juice,
potassium or something. I mean, a different.
We have control over that, though, because that's something our service uses. And I live on a cul-de-sac, so when they're plowing out the cul-de-sac,
you don't have any.
That little stretch of yard, it's about maybe 15 by 6 feet.
Right.
That it gets all the snow from the cul-de-sac.
Yeah, but if it was something other than, if they were applying something other than salt.
Well, so the potassium chloride or whatever it is won't cause the problem in the soil, but it'll still kill the plant.
It still will. Yeah. Okay, so it's six of one, half dozen the other.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, there we go.
Try the gypsum.
Yeah, give that a try.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. So here I thought I was being so environmentally conscious.
Well, it's good. It's good not to use sodium, for sure. It keeps it a stream, but it won't save the grass.
Mary in Greenfield, you're next. Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling.
Yes. I have a question. We've heard that it's good the last mowing of the year to cut it shorter, and I'm wondering if that's true and how short we should cut it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the myths of lawn care, is that the best thing to do going into the winter is to shave it down. And so you do see a few benefits with that. You get less snow mold, which is a fungus that comes in and basically eats the leaves. But it's not fatal to the grass. So you get less of that snow mold. But what you get more of, and I think this is worse, is you get more weeds the next spring. Because when you shave it down, you expose all the gaps in the soil, and that just makes it perfect for weeds to come in the spring. So I don't shave my lawn down. I would say half of my neighbors do. And so I think it's better to leave the grass high at the end of the season to decrease the weeds that you get in the spring.
So the same length that you mow off?
Yep, just keep it simple and keep it the same height all year would be my recommendation.
There you go. Thanks, Mary. George and Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for the program.
Sure.
So I'm a new lawn owner, and I'm hoping to create a prairie grass-style lawn that is wild and ugly, and I can burn it at the end of the year.
Okay.
Is that possible in the city of Madison to do something like that?
I don't know the regulations. I would guess not.
Wait a minute.
Can you burn in the city?
No.
You need a pretty...
No, but there are other ways that you can there are other ways to deal with prairies than burning. You can cut. You can mow.
Sure.
But in the city of Madison, at least, you will not be able to burn legally. I mean, you can get it to burn, but you're gonna find out the neighbors aren't gonna be happy with you either. But you what you have to do is do the alternative to burning, which is mowing, and then mowing at the right time of year.
Yeah. Well, that sounds a little less fun, but that's okay. What kind of plants are a good way to start something like that?
Yeah, so you say you're talking about going with a prairie, not a prairie slash lawn, right?
As close to prairie as I can get on, kind of the city side of the sidewalk.
Boy, you should be listening. I hope you listen next week.
Is Neil coming in?
Neil DeBoll.
I listen every day, Larry.
Neil DeBoll of Prairie Nursery is going to be on the show next Friday.
Yeah. He'll know all the ins and outs of this one.
Yeah, because he does it all the time. And, I mean, he at Prairie Nursery, and there are a lot of other good ones in this companies in the city of or in the state of Wisconsin too, but Neil's going to be on next week, so why don't you wait?
Whatever I say, thanks
for the rain check, Larry.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good luck, George.
Yeah, and here's Neil. You know, he sounds like just the average guy, and he is a world authority. Yeah. The guy goes all over the world. Literally, he's invited to look into issues and to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows what he's talking about. Bill in Oshkosh, thank you for calling. Hi, appreciate your call.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. You solved a mystery for me. I have this mint-like weed that's been growing in my raspberry patch, and I discovered now it is Creeping Charlie. And what I was wondering is it's pretty much the patch is about 10 by 15 feet, and this stuff is pretty much all over the whole ground underneath it.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if there's any way to control that, or we had lots of berries. I have no problem with that, but I just don't like the idea of this sucking all of the nutrients and water out of the soil.
Yeah, Bill, unfortunately, I think the only thing you can do is just keep pulling it out. It's going to be
cover it.
That's what I've been doing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Larry says you could cover it. I mean, that might be an option for
him.
Long term, I mean, it'd take you a year to kill it off, but probably.
Yeah.
Okay, just cover it like with the landscape thing, or like plastic.
Yeah, black plastic.
Black plastic could do it.
But you're going to lose your bush.
Unless you just kind of work around it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and it's kind of a prickly situation too, getting in there and pulling all okay, I didn't know what it was until I heard your program. I thought, oh, that's what that stuff is. I thought this is kind of a creeping mint.
It's not going away, Bill.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for the warning.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Oh, man. We have Pat in Oregon with a good question, too, I believe. All our questions have been good. Pat, hi. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for having the show. My question is, I've been using corn gluten as a pre-emergent in the spring, and it really, we have a nice lawn. It really looks good, but it's become prohibitive. The cost has really gone up. And I'm looking for kind of an organic, safe-for-the-pets alternative to corn gluten. And my second question is, my dogs have really done a damage in some spots in the lawn, and I'm wondering, how do I repair those spots in the spring, you know, after they've marked their territory all winter in the same spots?
Yeah, really common problem. So let's start with the pre-emergent. Corn gluten meal is basically a pre-emergent herbicide. It's an alternative or organic option, and it can be quite expensive. So there really is no other non-chemical option that compares to it. How long have you been using the corn gluten meal?
Oh, probably 5 or 6 years.
And so have you used it this year too?
Yes.
Yeah. Go without it. So one thing we see is if you're good at controlling the weeds for an extended period of time, they might not be there anymore. And so if your lawn is thick enough to prevent the weeds from coming back, you might notice that you just don't need a pre-emergent. 4 or 5 years down the line, you'll start to notice maybe more crabgrass or foxtail coming in, and then you'd have to think about a pre-emergent. But I bet you just go without next year and see how things come up.
That's good advice, I think.
Yeah, we see that a lot. Sometimes you only need to control weeds once every 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
The dog spot question is tougher. Spring is a bad time to reestablish. But in general, you want to work up the soil, plant in seed with a little, maybe handful of fertilizer mixed in, stomp it down, mulch it, and hope for the best. But usually what happens in the spring is a lot of weeds come in to those bare spots as well. So fall is usually the best time to.
And if
to
they
go
use the
them.
Same spot, it's probably not a bad idea to try and flush it a little bit too, get the salts out of it.
Yeah, or if it's small enough, resod it.
Yeah, I'd buy one thing of sod that I'd cut little circles out. I've seen that done, and that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, I think for $5 you can get a roll of sod or less, and
yep, saves a lot of time and effort. Yeah, you can.
And do a lot of those holes in a hurry. We had Trish sent a photo. And I don't know if you can see it. It's on my Facebook page, and she's wondering what kind of, and I can't see it because my allergy, I'm seeing is a blur on the screen right now, but it looks like she wants to know if it's quack grass or crabgrass or what it is. And can you tell from the, I really can't tell from the, because it all just looks green to me right now, given my teary state.
It's hard to identify grass even from a picture, but this looks a lot like tall fescue to me.
Huh?
And tall fescue is a bunch type grassy weed. So if we plant all tall fescue, it can actually be a pretty nice stand. But when it's mixed in with other grasses, it looks pretty ugly. It looks like tall fescue. The bad news is there's really nothing you can do about it other than dig it out. Or kill it with Roundup and replace it with reseeded or something like that. But I do see more and more of this tall fescue as people start to include it in seed mixtures because it's drought tolerant. It has really deep roots, and that's why I think it's a pretty interesting grass. You can actually buy tall fescue sod now. So it might be a grass that you might consider putting into your whole lawn. But when you have Kentucky bluegrass, it tends to look clumpy and ugly like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's not much you can do other than totally kill it and start over.
Well, Amina in Eau Claire, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Yes, good afternoon. We have a lake home, a lawn that is right on the lake. And a few years ago, we had a few anthills there. And this year, half of our lawn is completely anthills. And because we're right on the lake shore, we don't like to use any chemicals. So last year, I even fed all of these anthills a little bit of, cornmeal, because I had read or heard that they eat it and then they do not actually digest it. And now this year we have more than ever, so I think I fed them, and I was just wondering if you had any solutions. It is a very handy lawn.
How big are these mounds? Are they big, like a size of a pie plate, or?
Yes.
All right.
Boy, I don't know, Larry. What do you think? What would Phil Pelletieri do in a
Phil
situation?
Phil Pelletieri would say that you would take a rod, some sort of rod, maybe, a couple of pencils diameter.
Okay.
And you would go right down the center of that, of the hill.
Okay.
As far down as you could go, you can get down there a couple of feet, it'd even be best.
All right.
And then you could put, there's some ant killer that you could put directly in the hole. And then, because what you need to do is you need to get to the queen.
Right.
Because
right.
Once you kill the queen, then you're good to go, and that's okay. what you would have to do in order to kill them chemically. I have no idea how to do it otherwise.
Well, I have red vinegar because I was trying not to use any chemicals because we're right on the lake, but I may have to resort to that. But,
well, that allows you to do the least amount possible. I mean, you don't have to do a lot if you can get the material down the drench it right down the hole.
Okay. Well, I certainly appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. I'm pretty sure that's what. Well, I know Phil has used those very words. We turn next to Nick in Greenfield. Nick, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I've been listening for a little while. So last year I was in the hospital for a while, and during my period of being indisposed, some weeds started to take over part of my lawn. And when I came home, some of these weeds were like 3 feet tall. And in a fit of rage, I went out with Roundup and dispatched them, but it also dispatched part of the grass under. So to get to the point, your guest mentioned that brown mat when somebody else called in about it. And I was wondering, where can you get that?
Oh, okay. That was actually me talking about that brown mat. But, yeah, where do you buy those? At a good lawn,
yeah,
and a good garden center is going to have them.
Yeah, basically the local garden centers will have those.
And I'd go to a local garden center as opposed to a big box store?
Yeah, the big box stores, I'm not sure if they have them in stock, but I know, you know, the kind of the higher end materials you can find at the local garden centers.
And they're going to have, typically they're going to have the seeds in there are going to be the local seeds.
That's the stuff you want. Yeah.
And that's the stuff you want. And nothing against the big box stores, but a lot of times they're working on a sort of a national scale, so their grass mixtures are not always perfect for what we've got.
Exactly. Might not be fine-tuned or the best varieties for Wisconsin.
And someone wondered, we're starting to run out of time, but somebody was wondering about how long to keep a child off a lawn after there's been probably herbicides applied to the lawn.
Yeah, and so if this is a product that you applied yourself, you'll want to read the label. And I think that's one thing that most people neglect, but there's some really important information in there. And so if you're concerned about safety, the label will specify how long to keep dogs or children off the area, and it will vary, but a good rule of thumb is 24 hours.
Yeah.
But read the label.
Yeah, for sure. And as we final tip here in the last minute or so, Doug, here we are, and maybe summarize what we've got to do in the fall here.
Yep. So again, this is prime time for lawn care. Think about getting your fertilizer applications down, help that grass grow, and fill in the bare spots that accumulated over the summer. It's a perfect time to seed, get good seed to soil contact, put down some mulch, tamp it down with your foot. It's a good time to think about aerification of the lawn, pulling those cores up, loosening the soil, and getting that compaction level down. And then in about a month, that's the best time for controlling those really difficult weeds that you can't take care of with the non-chemical methods. So,
yep. Lots to do or lots to think about.
Lots to do, yep. Sod, again.
Yeah.
I like sod. Good time to sod.
I love sod. Doug, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Look forward to his next visit. Doug Soldat, Associate Professor at UW Extension in the Department of Soil Science at UW-Madison. He'll be back, and we will talk with him about lawn care. Neil DeBull of Prairie Nursery visits us next Friday on Garden Talk. And for Monday on Labor Day, I'll be here with Bill Volkert and Tom Schultz. We'll talk birds, of course. What triggers the fall migration for different species? And I know we're going to look forward to lots of questions from our audience, from you. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.